This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We've all heard The Freshman by The Verve Pipe.
For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen.
This Michigan band's biggest hit swept radio stations across the nation nearly two decades ago. Now the band is out with a new album, and they'll soon be playing shows in Michigan. Stateside's Emily Fox sat down with the Verve Pipe's lead singer, Brian Vander Ark, to talk about how the band has rebranded itself over the years.
Back before The Freshman really made it big, Brian Vander Ark says the Verve Pipe used to make a lot of their CD sales out of the back of a van. Here's a clip from Brian's Failure Lab story we aired on Stateside a few months ago.
What we did was, this was 1992, so we found investors, and we got people to invest in two CDs that we were going to put out, and we did over the course of a couple years, and we traveled around Michigan, all of the college towns, and we sold CDs after our shows out of the back of our van. Essentially, we sold 20 to 25,000 CDs that way, so it was very successful.
The Verve Pipe later got signed by RCA Records and sold some 3 million copies of their album Villains that had the single The Freshman on it. The Verve Pipe released a new album this summer. This is the band's first rock album in nearly a decade and a half. And one of the songs in the album, Carry On, seems to send a message to the music industry. Let's take a listen.
Spend all my money on rock and roll. That crap top 40 ain't got no soul. It's like a big black hole. Come on, people. Is there anybody out there? I've been wrong. I lost every dime. There's no accounting for taste. It's a waste of time. Ain't no reason to rhyme. Come on, people. You're making them millionaires.
So, Brian, tell me more about what this song is about.
It's really about accepting the blame, I think, for the state of the music industry. I mean, a lot of people blame the record labels, and it really is, listen, you, the listener, are responsible for what's being played right now, and you need to take responsibility for that. That's why the question, is there anybody out there? You're the ones that are making these fly-by-night singers famous and rich. You know, so stop complaining about it and stop listening.
And how do you think the music industry has changed in the two decades or so since your big hit, The Freshman? How have you seen it change over the years?
Well, I mean, of course, the internet changed everything for us. I mean, when we first started, you know, we had a mailing list of hard addresses we would send postcards to, 4,000 addresses, and suddenly it's email and suddenly it's, you know, spam, and suddenly people are file sharing. And we had always embraced file sharing. And for me personally, on my solo career, file sharing has been very beneficial for me to get word of mouth there. And back then it was a whole different view. I think that it's changed dramatically. I think that there's much more of a push for the instant gratification. I think that there's most artists, will have a one hit and gone again. Either that or most of the money is put into, you know, the Katy Perrys and the other, you know, huge iconic artists out there. That's actually the upside of it. The fact that there is hope to have a career in the business, but for a very select few. And the package has to be perfect. If the package is not perfect, it won't happen. And that's a difficult thing for, I think, any young musician to face.
And so how have these changes, affected a lot of musicians and affected you?
The tough thing for me was to try to rebrand the band in a different way, to say, okay, we were at the top of the charts. We had the good fortune of knocking U2 off the number one spot at one point. That would never happen again for this band. And you can't continue to chase that. The way things were, you have to try to refocus and say, well, you know what? We're going to embrace the file sharing, and we're going to play house concerts, and we're going to do those kinds of things to keep us out there in public, because we're not getting the radio support, and we're not certainly not getting MTV or VH1. We barely plays videos anymore. So we have to work and grassroots the whole thing. It really is like starting over. You know, it really is literally now I'm selling CDs out of my van again, and there's nothing wrong with that. These are the fans that stick around. When you sell somebody a CD, when you personally do the transaction and you thank them and you shake their hand, which I've done, I've played over 500 house concerts in the last 6 years, 7 years, and you actually have a conversation with them, that endears, you're endearing yourself to them in a way that you never could in the 90s when we were on MTV and quite famous.
So on the topic of rebranding yourselves, about 5 years ago, the Verve Pipe came out with the Family album. Talk about this album and why you decided to put together an album for kids.
Well, you know, I've got a couple kids and they motivate me like nothing else in this world. And it made sense to try to make an album that was more fun and lighthearted. And when deciding to do that and decided that I didn't want to necessarily speak for that alternative generation anymore, what do I have to say to an angst-ridden kid? I mean, it would be it wouldn't be true to myself if I represented that kid anymore, because I'm very happy. But a lot of people don't want to hear just happy music, so except kids, and have fun music. And so that's why we said, let's make a kids album and let's make it sound like a Verve Pipe record with 3-4-part harmonies and big guitars and horns or whatever. But let's do kid friendly lyrics, kind of silly lyrics. And it really paid off for us. We didn't plan on the success of the kids records. We just did it to get back in the studio and try something new. And next thing you know, we're playing Lollapalooza and Austin City Limits, these places that we hadn't even played for the adults. But mm-hmm. There's 5,000 kids out there now, and it's a blast. It's so much fun. And then we made another kids record a couple years later.
When one became two, well, the two of us knew that whatever will be is gonna be. And what was to be was that two became three. It's beginning to look like a family.
All of those fans of ours in the 90s grew up and had kids. And we couldn't have planned this. We're not smart enough businessmen to have planned to say, this is going to be successful because those people have kids now and they're going to buy their kids a record. Nobody even thought of that. We really just wanted to have fun and get in the studio and have an excuse to put an oboe on a record. You know what I mean? Because you can't do that on a rock record. It sounds pretentious. It just doesn't fit. But on a kid's record, you can put an oboe on there. And then the kid that plays oboe goes, oh my gosh, oboe is so cool, you know, and they go get the record.
So why now come out with a new rock album after almost a decade and a half?
Because I had to get dark again.
Uh-huh, okay.
I couldn't quite take the G and PG anymore. And Overboard, the new album, is just that. It went a little bit overboard in the darkness. In fact, the person that mixed it, John Holbrook, he mixed the two kids records too. He called me up and said, is everything okay? I mean, this is really, it's a lot about death and destruction and that kind of thing. But I really had to get that out of me.
So let's take a listen to the title track of your latest album. This is called Overboard.
Truth lives next to consequence. It comes and goes like winter wind. Blowing across the straits one night, cold as death and real as sin. And I loved her and she loved me, bound for what was meant to be. But trouble travels silently. There's a girl Michigan, up in Lake Superior, who'll never bother us again, making our lives easier.
So I understand that this track was co-written with Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels, yes. Jeff has been a friend of mine for a few years, and we wrote a song together called My Little Town a few years ago, and then I had this idea for a song, and I was stuck. And he's a Northern Michigan guy as well. He loves Northern Michigan, and we were up there touring, playing together. And for those of you who don't, many people don't know that he's actually a musician himself and a great songwriter and singer, and he puts on a terrific show, storytelling type songs. And I said, I'm stuck on this. I don't know what to do with this. And he ended up loving the ideas that I had, and he ended up writing an entire short story about what this song should be about, and it was great. I, on the other hand, started with "There's a girl in Michigan up in Lake Superior," and I thought, well, what does that mean? Which I usually do, and it was stuck over and over. I sing it over and over in my head, and then I realized that it would be much more compelling if she were dead in the water. And then there was a murder involved in this kind of thing. And he embraced that. And he said, let's open up this way and let's take it this way. And let's let people feel the cold, not only the physical cold, but the emotional cold of the song. And he brought it to a great place.
Well, I've been joined by Brian Vander Ark of the Verve Pipe. His band will be playing at the Ark in Ann Arbor on Sunday. You'll also be able to catch them playing in Ferndale and Grand Rapids the next month or two. You can find out more on the band's Facebook page. Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. What a pleasure.
Truth moved on from consequence, just when things were making sense. Her body washed back onto shore, discovered by a neighbor boy. And now she's in our lives again, the three of us in shadows.